On Body and Soul, which is a love story set in a Hungarian slaughterhouse.
Yeah, my parents saw this one. My dad didn't really like it, but he doesn't really like a lot of movies, but
especially terrifying Hungarian
yeah,
ones.
Yeah.
And The Square, which is a Swedish comedy skewering the art world, featuring Dominic West, Terry Notary, and Elizabeth Moss.
Dominic West.
Usually if I see Western actors show up in a foreign language film, that gives it a little extra cachet. I don't think so this year. A Fantastic Woman is your likely winner.
I've heard a lot of buzz about Loveless.
I actually chose A Fantastic Woman as well for two reasons. One, it will be Chile's first win for Best Foreign Language Film.
They've never won Best Foreign Language Film before.
Chile's never won. Or, I'm sorry, no film out of Chile has ever won. And two, given the current socio-political climate, a story about a transgender woman losing her lover is very, it's very topical. It's a PR win for the Oscars. It really is. I think that that's like, I would hands down say A Fantastic Woman is going to win.
I'm going to back you up on that, Shay, and I'm going to say it is WMFO Medford, because we have to say that.
91.5 FM.
I'm going to back you up on that for a couple of reasons. Number one, this film has huge international buzz.
Yeah.
This is
the only film of the five of them that I've actually heard of independently.
I've heard a lot about Loveless.
And number two, Daniela Vega is red hot right now. And there are a number of people who believe she got snubbed for a Best Actress nomination.
Well, maybe we'll see her in West Side Story.
You're going to see her at the Oscars because she's going to be presenting. So
you're a jet all the way.
That's right.
From your first cigarette to your last dying day.
That's an Oscar winner.
Unless you go trans gang.
Best Picture in 1960. Get it.
Unless you go trans gang and decide to become a shark. Molly.
I differed. I went with Loveless.
Okay.
I heard a lot about Loveless. I haven't seen any of the foreign language movies. I should have asked my aunt because she lives in L.A. So she goes to see a lot of the foreign movies just because she loves him. I should have asked her what she thought, but
I'm concerned that if the Academy gives any awards to the Russians, that Robert Mueller is going to show up and start handing out subpoenas. I think it's a very real possibility. Best costume design.
This one was hard for me.
The nominees are Beauty and the Beast, Darkest Hour, The Phantom Thread, which is the film about Woodcock with Daniel Day-Lewis in it.
I can't hear the word Woodcock.
grown adults.
We're both grown, mature women.
The Shape of Water and Victoria and Abdul. Molly.
This one was hard because I'm a Disney girl. I always have been, always will be. I loved Beauty and the Beast. And the costumes in Beauty and the Beast are amazing.
Yeah.
They are stunning. However, this was actually the last one that I chose on my ballot because it was so hard. I'm going with Phantom Thread, which is hard for me. The couture in Phantom Thread is insane. And the fact that Daniel Day-Lewis went his usual method way and learned how to sew couture gowns and even made one for his wife to wear to a red carpet. I'm going with Phantom Thread.
Chase Blaine?
See, I went the opposite way as you did. I was originally going to say Phantom Thread, but with Beauty and the Beast, it's so difficult to do a live action version of an animated film.
Most of it was CGI,
pull it off properly. But the costumes were not.
True.
And that was the thing. Is like, I mean, especially being from the generation that we grew up on Beauty and the Beast. We grew up on Disney films. And the fact that they so accurately pulled that off.
From the animated film.
It's so difficult to do because when it's animated, you can draw whatever you feel like. You can make any dress look however, but it's, I thought that they really pulled it off properly.
Beauty and the Beast, the original. So I'm talking the animated one. So 91, I think
I would
it was.
Say that was definitely that was elementary school style.
First ever animated movie nominated. Nominated for Best Picture. No, my first crush was Michael J. Fox. Are you kidding?
Oh, mine was Patsy Jack. Not a super proud moment. No,
Michael
from my
J.
Past.
Fox and Back to the Future. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I understand that. But yeah, so Beauty and the Beast. I think it just was, it because was really of the difficulty,
yeah.
because of how difficult it is to bring an animated movie to life. Yeah. I thought that was
it was really hard.
Really
for me
well
to
done.
Choose this one.
My problem with the Phantom Thread is there's way too much Jar Jar in that movie.
Do you mean by that?
I like Darth Maul.
As in Binks?
I think Darth Maul is one of the best things in the prequels. But
oh, I know what he's getting at. I get it.
Is this a different movie?
No. Completely different.
Okay.
That's the Phantom Menace.
What's the category that we're talking about?
Costumes. Best and costume. What's the Phantom Thread all about?
What's the Phantom Thread about?
Costume. Well, Close. Couture.
Yeah.
It's about costume design is what it's about. Yeah. And I think that gives it an edge. It is absolutely between the Phantom Thread and Beauty and the Beast.
Definitely.
Oh, totally.
Definitely.
This was one of the hardest things for me to decide.
This was the hardest one for me by far.
And it's sort of, I'm swayed by the argument that for the costume design category, a movie that's about fashion
should take it.
Period fashion in particular. Haute couture period fashion is going to be a strong contender.
But that's the thing is, theoretically, it should take it. But if the whole movie is about period couture, it has to be done perfectly.
Yeah.
Right.
As opposed to if there's a film that's not about fashion and does it better, like that says something.
You know what I think might work in favor of Beauty and the Beast is that for Phantom Thread, they're recreating dresses that were previously made.
Yeah, that actually exist.
So you
not something that someone animated.
Exactly. For Beauty and the Beast, you're bringing something into the world for the first time.
Yes, and which is what led me to Beauty and the Beast being my pick.
It's a tough one. I think you could go with either one of those and expect to do well. The momentum is behind Phantom Thread, but not by such a huge margin that you can rule out Beauty and the Beast. It will be one of those two films. Production design. The nominees are, once again, Beauty and the Beast, Blade Runner 2049. Nobody saw that except me, apparently.
I saw it with you.
The Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, and The Shape of Water. And I will start off on this one.
Don't have me go first, please.
I can immediately eliminate Beauty and the Beast and Blade Runner 2049 because so much of those movies is CG. And they're going up against films where everything was done on practical sets. So that leaves us with The Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, and The Shape of Water. I can take Dunkirk out because the majority of that film is beach and ocean.
And air.
And yes, there is production design to it, but you're not building sets. You're not creating an entire look specifically for this. Mm-hmm. So now we're left with a choice between United Kingdom nostalgia and United States nostalgia. I think the Cadillac showroom alone in The Shape of Water gets The Shape of Water the production design award.
Agreed.
And whenever you've got a film that's got a central location that is critical to the movie and the set is done as well as it was for the room with the water tank in The Shape of Water, think about Silence of the Lambs. Mm-hmm. And Hannibal Lecter's cell and that wing, that won Best Production Design because that set is so
iconic,
and so important to the film.
Yeah. That was exactly my thought. Okay. Actually,
we all agree. That. Good.
Well, it's just like if you've ever seen V for Vendetta.
Yes.
V's lair, if you will.
Yeah.
It was so perfectly done. It was it was exactly what one would picture it being. And I think in The Shape of Water, they had the same concept of just, we are going to create exactly what the viewer would be picturing.
Mm-hmm.
for this film. I really, and this, I agree.
And the thing with The Shape of Water too was it was not a brightly colored.
Oh no, it was all Pepto, very. Yeah, it was like, all very dull. Neon, all very,
very
subdued.
Like a lot of very subdued blues, grays, yeah. greens, and that yeah, like room lots of where olive the green. Tank is,
yeah,
was just
now
very dark.
Here's something to keep. We all agree on The yes. Shape of Water. There is momentum building behind Blade Runner 2049.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. That was actually my second choice, to be honest with you.
Because everything in it is futurist. None of it exists in our current world, and people like the look and the feel and the grit of it.
Well, and they did put a lot of thought into just the angular design. I was reading about it, like the angular design of everything. Kind of complemented the overall feel of the film, that it was supposed to be futuristic, that it was supposed to be like well thought out settings of everything. Everything, if you watch, like you do screenshots of the film, it's all very perpendicular and parallel.
That's
and
a good word.
It's aesthetically pleasing in terms of like what they're trying to get
did
forth
they,
in
did
the
they
film.
They film a lot of 2049 in LA like they did with the first one.
And they filmed a lot of it on sound stages.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the original was on sound stages too, but a lot of the original you know is LA, like the Bradley building.
Yeah, bits and pieces of it, but most of it
soundstage
stuff. There's a lot of CGI here, but there's also mm-hmm. some practical stuff mm-hmm. and I think the momentum behind The Shape of Water mm-hmm. with all the nominations that it got and how much the Academy and people in Hollywood seem to love the movie gives it the edge over Blade Runner 2049. My pick would be, and we agree that our pick is The Shape of Water, but I could see someone making a case for Blade Runner. And if Blade Runner wins this one, it won't shock me.
Yeah.
If something other than those two movies wins this one.
Beauty and the Beast is beautiful, though.
Too much CGI.
So much CGI.
Well, that's what, when I was looking at this, you know, figuring out what I wanted to do, that's what did it for me, was that even though Beauty and the Beast was stunning, like, the best example is Be Our Guest. I saw an interview where Emma Watson was like, I was so bored because she's sitting there alone and what we see is on screen. Is
yeah.
All,
no.
But that's the point.
And she just has a green screen behind
it's
her.
All, it's all CGI. Yeah. If no. they had a best CGI, then maybe.
It is, well, that's visual effects, and we'll get to that.
That's true.
It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Shea Spillane, and Molly Gary taking you through our Oscar picks, helping you win your Oscar pool. We come to the third of our nominated songs, and they all get better from here on out because they are more upbeat and lively, and this one is going to be stuck in your head probably for the rest of the week. And then you'll hear it again at the Oscars, and it'll be stuck in your head for another week. It's just the way it goes.
Me, though I have to say goodbye, remember me. Don't let it make you cry. For even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me. Have to travel far, remember me. Each time you hear a sad guitar, know that I'm with you the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again, remember me. Recuérdame. Recuérdame.
Si en tu mente vivo estoy,
recuérdame.
Mis sueños yo te doy, te llevo en mi corazón y te acompañaré. Unidos en nuestra canción, contigo ahí estaré. Yo contigo siempre voy. Recuérdame.
If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep
keep our love alive, I'll never fade away. If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep our love alive, I'll never fade away. If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep our love alive, I'll never fade away. Remember me, for I will soon be gone. Remember me, and let the love we have live on. And know that I'm with you, the only way that I can be. So until you're in my arms again, remember me. Remember me. Remember me.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. And special guest tonight is Molly Gary. I was going to call you Mollet really quick. That was weird.
If the listeners could see Derek right now, he looks like a fool.
This is the opening to Grease, isn't it?
No, yeah. It's not. No. Yeah. Oh, it is. That you're right. Because it's the
feeling.
We've heard Frankie Valli sing this live.
Grease is the word. It's the time. It's the manner.
I was in Grease.
That was Remember Me from Coco that we heard before at the start of the break. We're not allowed to pronounce these things anymore, and it's really tough.
Evidently.
For an old dog like me who learned how to do that years ago to not pronounce stuff and get us in trouble with the bad people, so not doing that. All right, we are moving down in our levels of confidence on what will win, and that
yes.
I would say,
where does that leave us now?
So in that last segment, costume design, we were split between Phantom Thread and Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
In production design, we all agree on The Shape of Water.
Yes,
but I pointed out there is some momentum for Blade Runner 2049. Best cinematography. The nominees are Blade Runner 2049, The Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Mudbound, and The Shape of Water. Shay's chomping at the bit on this one.
For this, I also thought The Shape of Water. That was my focus when I studied film, was cinematography. And I think just, again, with the same thoughts in terms of production value, I really thought that there was a lot of thought put into everything about the cinematography, whether it be the framing, the color scheme, the sets, like everything was very, every point of the camera was very specific and thought out. And none of the other forerunners seemed to even come close to matching it.
Molly.
Dunkirk.
Any particular reason why, or just?
I have to admit, this is an area I don't really know much about. But I've seen four out of the five nominees, and I didn't want to go with Blade Runner because of the CGI and how it was. I mean, cinematography. You two film majors, tell me if I'm wrong. It's about how a movie is filmed, correct? How it's lit, how it's filmed.
Well, it's about what winds up on the film. Yeah, that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, it's about what...
I don't know. There was just something...
How everything is set up with every... It's one of those difficult to define, but it's how everything comes together.
Okay, so like... Then I thought how Dunkirk, how it was different settings. The beach, the ocean, and the air. How they shot each one of those, I thought was really interesting then.
Now, Mudbound is the first ever nomination for a female cinematographer, Rachel Morrison. And that's a big deal. It's also Netflix, and I mentioned Netflix earlier, and Hollywood is really not happy with Netflix these days. So I don't think that one's going to win. If it was up to me, and the Academy thought like I do, Dunkirk would be your clear winner in this category because of the IMAX aerial dogfight scenes. Mm, that has never been done before. And anyone who is familiar with IMAX cameras knows that they are giant hulking beasts of machinery that are going to be very difficult to mount on an airplane. And very difficult to deal with in flight. So the fact that Christopher Nolan was able to shoot the first ever aerial dogfight footage with IMAX cameras in most years would take you to the award. However, Roger Deakins has been nominated 14 times. Roger Deakins.
Which one is he up for?
Has not
Blade Runner 2049.
In 14 nominations, I thought he was going to get it for Skyfall.
I thought he was going to win for Prisoners.
He seemed like a deadlock for Skyfall. He actually won the BAFTA award this year for Blade Runner 2049.
So there's a chance. I see what you're saying.
I think
a decent chance that he could win for cinematography.
I think they are finally going to give it to Roger Deakins.
So we all think something different. That's interesting.
If they don't,
I think that's the first time that's happened over the course.
If they don't give it...
Usually at least two of us agree.
If they don't give it to Roger Deakins, and they won't, because they just don't, even though it looks like they're going to this year, The Shape of Water is hands down your next best option.
So I mean, are you going with Blade Runner?
I am going with Blade Runner and my misplaced
faith.
But
with the caveat of The Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water, if...
I have chosen Roger Deakins every time he's been nominated for the last...
And you've been wrong
four
every
or five
time.
And I've been wrong every single time. Sooner or later, it's like roulette. Keep playing the same number. Sooner or later it's going to come up.
Sooner or later, you'll win.
But if you go with The Shape of Water on this, this is actually a really, really tight race between Blade Runner, Dunkirk, and The Shape of Water. The Shape of Water is going to have a lot of momentum throughout the night. Mm-hmm. And that may get it the win, but please. So if you take The Shape of Water, fine, but I'm really pulling for Roger Deakins on this one. Best visual effects. Here's Blade Runner 2049 again. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Kong Skull Island, Star Wars The Last Jedi, and War for the Planet of the Apes. You can call this the category for movies people actually saw.
Or blockbusters,
yes.
Basically.
For this one, I went with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Not an awesome movie.
No, not really.
But the visual effects were spot on. Like, it's one of those things that you have to give credit where credit's due. The movie itself was not fantastic, as much as I love Chris Pratt. But the visual effects, taken out of the context of the movie, kind of sucked, were very... top notch. And I think that a lot of times, as we said, the Oscars are very political. And I think it's one of those situations of, I think they're going to toss one in this direction just because I believe it's one of two things that the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is nominated for. And this is one, I don't want to say it's a throwaway because obviously people devote their lives to visual effects. But it's one of those ones where it doesn't really matter.
This is a category that Titanic won 20 years ago. And think of the stuff that was in Titanic.
Baby Groot's pretty awesome.
It was at
that's what I'm saying is that it's in terms of visual effects, it was not a great movie, but in terms of visual effects, it was technically proficient. Let's put it that way.
Blade Runner.
War for the Planet of the Apes.
Ooh, we're all different again. Wow.
I think, and by the way, Guardians of the Galaxy has, and Blade Runner both have a good shot at this. War for the Planet of the Apes, Andy Serkis and the team on that movie have been breaking new ground in motion capture. That's what won the award for The Jungle Book a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Oh, that's true.
They've also been ignoring the Apes movies. Up to this point, they haven't won any visual awards.
Bad.
No, they're not actually.
Apes.
They're not actually. They're very, very good movies. And this one was extremely well received by the critics and by fans. I think there's a little Lord of the Rings trilogy thing going on here where it's like, you're at the end of your trilogy. Okay, now we're going to give you the award. But everyone in the industry is very aware of what Andy Serkis and the mocap team accomplished on War for the Planet of the Apes. They are breaking new grounds in the technology. And this award, if you don't have massive practical effects that are mind-blowing, tends to go very heavily toward technology. Mm. So this one to me is pretty wide open. I am fairly confident on War, but you can make a case for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which is the crowd pleaser, or you can make a case for Blade Runner, which just is the complete package. So we'll see. That's probably one of the most contentious ones out there. Original score, we have Dunkirk by Hans Zimmer, Phantom Thread by Johnny Greenwood, Star Wars The Last Jedi by John Williams, The Shape of Water, Alexander Desplat, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Carter Burwell.
Desplat. The Academy loves him. So, for me, Shape of Water.
See, I said Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Ooh, no.
Only because it's John Williams.
I love John Williams.
I mean, everyone loves John Williams.
But not for this.
I do. Like, that's the thing is, as I'm saying it out loud, I'm thinking to myself, nah, they're not going to give it to him. But it almost feels like a fail-safe for this. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go wrong. No one's going to say, what were you thinking if you give John Williams an Academy Award?
Good point.
Like it's the only one that's definitely a, and especially the sheer fact that the reason that I originally thought that it should be him is just that he had to adapt to the fact that there have already been so many Star Wars scores, and he had to.
And he's also won Oscars for a lot of them, and he's
I know,
he's won for this movie. That's really what it comes down to.
That's what I'm saying is that he's like I said, he's a failsafe. It's built in that nobody's going to say, what, you gave it to John Williams? No one's ever going to say that because it's John Williams.
He's also the living person with the most Oscars.
As a default choice.
This is crazy.
As a default choice
for
people.
Can you imagine being able to say that to people?
Who don't know how to vote, I agree with you on that. But
yeah, that's the thing is, I think that it's, again, agreed, it's the default choice.
I'm going with Desplat as well. He's been John Williams in recent years.
He has.
I
like his stuff.
I think a good runner-up for this one is Hans Zimmer with Dunkirk, because he's also very popular, and that was one of the more notable soundtracks of this year. But I would go with Shape of Water or Dunkirk ahead of The Last Jedi. Hmm. However, Shay, your argument is logical and sensible. All right.
I think that's the first time you've ever said that to me, Derek.
This brings us to the two categories that everybody gets confused with every year.
And I've already asked him today.
Oh, God, I'm terrified right now.
Sound editing and sound mixing. And once again, I will explain to you
confusable?
What these are. Well, people who don't have film degrees don't get it.
Oh, yeah.
Like me.
Sound editing should be called best sound effects, because that's what it is. This is about recording and creating sound for a motion picture. Sound mixing is about creating the soundtrack for the film, taking sound effects, dialogue, music, working it all together to create the full audio picture that you enjoy while you watch a movie. So if you think sound effects, sound editing, you will always get this right. The nominees in both categories are, as they typically are, exactly the same.
Yep.
They are Baby Driver, Blade Runner 2049, Dunkirk, The Shape of Water, and Star Wars The Last Jedi.
What are we starting with, sound editing or sound mixing?
You can, if they're different, you can.
They are.
Mine are different too.
Okay.
So for sound editing, I said Star Wars The Last Jedi. Only because any Star Wars movie is very difficult to sound edit in terms of just getting the timing right, getting everything to line up properly with what you're seeing and what you're hearing. For sound mixing, I said Blade Runner 2049.
You and I flipped.
Because there's men who were already experienced sound mixing the original. Like it took a, you know, when you have a movie that's a sequel, which I guess is the case with both of these now that I'm thinking of it, but especially with Blade Runner, especially it's a different actor playing the main role, it's a different theme, it's a different plot line. Being able to mix the sound in such a way that lives up to the original and works with the sequel is, I think that Blade Runner got it. But so yeah, editing Star Wars, mixing Blade Runner.
Molly?
Editing Blade Runner, mixing Dunkirk.
You're both wrong. And
is that so?
Yes. Here are the rules. Here are the hard and fast rules.
Derek's normally really good at these
experts
categories.
Use in these sound
Guys,
categories.
By the way, I've had a Pellegrino and a Red Bull over the course of this, and I'm debating which can to throw at Derek right now.
Sound editing. Is there a war movie in the category?
Dunkirk.
If so, check it. The war movie always wins.
I went with the war movie
Star
for
Wars
mixing.
The Last Jedi
always.
Is a war movie.
Again.
It's just a different kind of war
Dunkirk
movie.
I went with Dunkirk for mixing.
Again, they've won. They've won, they've won, they've won. They've won for this. Sound mixing. Is there a musical in the category? If there is, pick the musical. There is no musical this year, but there is one movie that's close, and it's a dark horse to win this.
Shape of Water?
Baby Driver?
And it's Baby Driver.
Oh, yeah.
Baby Driver is a dark horse candidate to win sound mixing, but I refuse to believe that a movie starring Kevin Spacey is going to win any awards.
So I think the Red Bull can.
The
Oscars. I think the Red Bull can is what I'm going to throw at him.
So what do you think?
I say take Dunkirk in both categories. You will get one of them.
Oh, darn. That means Molly was more right than me.
If you... Now, here's the thing. If you want to... If you want, Blade Runner 2049 is not a bad choice in either one of these.
I picked that for editing.
I picked that for mixing.
But if we go by history, Dunkirk is going to win one of these.
That's true. I forgot about your logic where is there a war movie in editing?
I need to remember that. That's a very good point, especially
yeah.
in terms of sound editing.
Yes.
A war movie needs it to
and
be
then the
so
thing about,
precise.
And then the thing about the musical and sound mixing, because I said to you, that's why Les Mis won it a couple of years ago, because there was no music
if
when
Kevin
they were filming
if Kevin Spacey was
Wait,
not in
Molly,
Baby Driver.
Do you hear the people sing? Singing a song of angry men.
All right.
The music of a people who will not be slaves again.
If Kevin Spacey was not in Baby Driver, we would probably be talking about that film taking sound mixing. Because
Kevin Spacey, why did you have to be a creep? I was rooting for you for so many years.
Because the way they layered in the car sounds and the music and really sort of edited those car chases to that soundtrack caught a lot of attention. And people in Hollywood were really impressed with that. Kevin Spacey's in the movie. People aren't going to forget that.
Thus,
yeah.
Shot
so,
in the foot.
I would say Dunkirk could be my first choice in both of these categories. I'd say Blade Runner 2049 is a good possibility in both of these categories. And don't rule out The Shape of Water just because there's so much momentum behind the film. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. WMFO. Medford, that's the frequency. We have another nominee for Best Song. This one is from the movie Marshall. And we'll be back with more Oscar picks right after this here on WMFO Medford.
You can have all the money in your hands, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worthless treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have everything, but what does it mean? It all means nothing if you don't stand up for something. You can't just talk the talk, you got to walk that
look in the mirror, proud of who's looking back at you. Define the life you're living, not by what you take but what you're giving. And if you bet on love, there's no way you'll ever lose. Take a stand, make a stand for what's right. It's always worth.
Understand, ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan's the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out and touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra bucks is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. With us as a special treat is Molly Gary. And we're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. Tonight is our special Oscars prediction show. And Derek, what are we on at this point?
All right. Our level of confidence in the winners has been going down. We started out with Gary Oldman at Best Actor. And we just got to complete disagreement on sound editing and sound mixing. This brings us to the shorts, animated shorts. The nominees are Dear Basketball, Kobe Bryant's Vanity Project, where he talks about how great he is.
Best way to put it.
With a score by John Williams, by the way.
Very true.
Garden Party. This is a beautifully animated movie.
Stunning.
about frogs enjoying a house where a gangland
there's a twist at the end.
Figure has been murdered.
Dun, dun, dun.
Lou, which is Pixar, about a creature in a lost and found box. Negative Space, a story about a man and his father and packing. And Revolting Rhymes, based on the Roald Dahl children's book and adapted into about a 30-minute long animation, which was very good. Molly and I have actually seen all of these,
yes.
So I'll let you go first.
They were all really good. I didn't feel like there was a weak link, but even though there was that really gross twist at the end of Garden Party, it was so stunning. The animation, I'm going to go with Garden Party.
See, I think, again, I'm going with the political angle. I think Garden Party and Lou should be very big contenders. I do think Dear Basketball is going to win. Just for the poignance factor, for the fact that, you know, Kobe Bryant is such a known, and especially because it's something completely out of his normal wheelhouse. Like, it's not...
Well, Derek said it best. It's a vanity project.
Oh, that's
what
totally.
Hollywood likes
loves that,
that sort of
that's,
thing.
I would say that's yeah. the thing, is that they eat that sort of thing up, especially yes. because of the synergy aspect of all of it, whereas Kobe Bryant's a man who has a lot of money, who could potentially fund an actual feature-length film, who could... There's lots of political reasons for Dear Basketball to win.
It's going to be Dear Basketball. And I hate to say it's going to be Dear Basketball, but production-wise, it is the best thing out there. It has a John Williams soundtrack. And you know what? Hollywood loves narcissistic vanity pieces anyway.
They really do.
That's what Hollywood is.
They're going to eat up Kobe. Garden Party is the best film out of the group.
That's what deserves to win. But again, this is a political
decision. It was hard to tell at the
beginning
that it was animation. You thought it was
real. The problem with Garden Party
is that twist
at the end really sets a lot of people off.
Well, when we were in the movie theater, the reaction was like, ooh.
Yeah. And it's like, the French may be able to get away with that, but American audiences are like, not so much. Live action short, we have DeKalb Elementary, which is about a potential shooting in an elementary school. The 11 o'clock, a hilarious Australian film about a psychiatrist and a patient. My Nephew Emmett, which is a recreation of the final hours of the life of Emmett Tillman. Who was murdered in Mississippi in 1955. The Silent Child, a film about a deaf girl who is trying to figure out how to communicate as she enters school and being incredibly neglected by her family. That's an important element of that. And Watu Wote, All of Us, based on a true story about Muslim passengers on a bus who shielded Christian passengers on a bus at a crossing in Africa. Shay, you get to start us off on this one.
For this, I was kind of torn between two, which was the last two, which is The Silent Child and Watu Wote. I do think that Watu Wote is going to take it, only because it's the most intense, and as I've mentioned, for other people who are, or other films that are up for it, it's the most currently relevant story, and definitely just the most intense live action short film.
Molly,
The Silent Child.
I think
the whole neglecting the child, and
that's it was a really close call between The Silent Child and Watu Wote.
Yeah,
I think The Silent Child is an excellent film. It's an excellent film.
You don't think it's going to win, though.
I don't think it's going to win.
I remember you telling me that.
And I have to disagree with your rationale behind Watu Wote. Because at about the same time that the voting began for the Academy Awards, we were in Parkland, Florida. And DeKalb Elementary takes on a new dimension of relevance in all of this.
I did consider that aspect as well.
Yeah.
Do you think that one?
I think it's going to win.
Yeah, just for the for the topicality of it, I can see where you...
I think it is the least deserving of the films in this category to win.
But because of the times.
I think because you had a school shooting and...
Literally days
before the voting, and then this film is in there. Documentary feature, Abacus Small Enough to Jail, is an economic documentary about one of the very few banks actually prosecuted for the credit bubble.
Oh, okay.
For subprime lending, and this was a family-owned bank in Chinatown. Faces Places follows new wave actress Agnes Varda and street artist JR as they take pictures of people in France and put them on buildings. Icarus is an investigation of the Russian doping scandal, which got Russia kicked out of the Olympics this year. Last Man in Aleppo, if you saw the White Helmets last year, this is a longer version of that. It is more time with
white
them.
White Helmets 1.
Strong Island, Yancey Ford investigates the 1992 killing of his brother and the refusal of a grand jury to indict his murderer. Molly.
I've heard a lot. I haven't seen any of these, but I have to admit I've heard a lot about Last Man in Aleppo. So I'm going with that one.
Shay.
For this, this was a tough one. For the same reason, I hadn't seen any of these. I just had to research them. But I'm going Icarus, just because of the, like, again, a lot of the gut instincts that I went to with this was just the timeliness of things.
I think you're right about this, but mm-hmm. the momentum is behind Faces Places. Mm-hmm. And every now and again, a movie about artists in documentary, like, gets a lot of attention because they're like, oh, it's about art, and we're about art, and we love art.
And we're so deep.
However, the one thing, if I was going to flip one of my picks, this would be the one, and I would flip it to Icarus because I believe, I'm not going to, but if I were, I believe the fact that there was an additional Russian doping scandal during the Oscar voting suddenly makes that a more compelling and timely film.
That's the way I looked at it as well. That just the timeliness of all of everything that's happened concerning Russia, concerning the Olympics, concerning doping, all of that.
Icarus and Faces Places are sort of nipping at each other's heels right now, and that could go either way. Last Man in Aleppo, because White Helmets won last year.
Could hurt it,
I think. Documentary short, Edith and Eddie, is about interracial newlyweds, 95 and 96, trying to find elder care in America. Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405 is by commercial director Frank Stifel.
We all know how bad that is.
I have so many terrifying memories of the 405.
Looking at artist Mindy Alper, who suffers from anxiety and depression and draws a lot of art about traffic jams. Heroin is about three West Virginia women dealing with the heroin outbreak. Knife Skills.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that.
Is about Chef Brando Krastowski, who decided to open a French restaurant in Cleveland staffed entirely by recent ex-convicts. Mm-hmm. That's different. Traffic Stop, this is an HBO film about a school teacher who was brutalized by police during a routine traffic stop. Edith and Eddie is the one I'm going with.
Same here.
It's got the momentum behind it right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Heaven is a traffic... Molly, what's your pick?
Traffic Stop.
No. That's so far down in the rankings right now. Yeah.
I have to admit, I just looked at it, I'm like, okay, this one. I took a wild guess on this one.
Edith and Eddie, number one. Heroin, number two. Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405, number three. In my opinion. Edith and Eddie is for me, a vast front runner.
HBO could actually be a powerful factor in this. And the fact that Traffic Stop is an HBO film counts for something here. But Edith and Eddie seems to be the one that people are gravitating toward.
Well, and especially because what the documentary ended up being about was not what it was set out to be about.
Yeah.
It was supposed to just be about this interracial couple that got married at 95 and 96, and then it turned into this whole family struggle. And I feel that the best documentaries unfold that way, where it's, you don't even realize the story that you're about to get.
And that's the same situation with Icarus, because he started just doing a story about Russian athletes and then stumbled into the doping scandal and happened to be there when everything was happening. So I think it's a strong pick.
I love that their names are Edith and Eddie.
Yeah.
I mean, that worked out so nicely.
The one that's
some of your names are Sam and Marjorie.
The one that seems to be nipping at its heels is Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405. Again, a movie about an artist. And Hollywood loves movies about artists.
I do not miss that place at all.
It is WMFO Medford. We are coming down to the final picks, including Best Picture, so you're going to want to stick around for that. We have one more nominated song to play. This one from one of my favorite films of the past year and a great, great Oscar nominee. Should have been nominated for more, I think. But this is from This Is Me, and this is The Big Picture on WMFO Medford.
Stranger to the dark, hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. Cut me down, I'm gonna send a flood, gonna drown a mind. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, 'cause here I come.
A single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You're listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Villain. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. And with us as a special treat tonight is Molly Gary.
That's why we don't let the wife on the air.
We usually don't let the wife on the air because she talks into her hot mic about things that we didn't mean for her to say on the air. We are wrapping things up with our Oscar predictions. And Derek, what are we on now?
Let me give you a quick recap of the Mortal Lux, the five that you have to pick no matter what.
Dun, dun, dun,
or you're going to lose. Best actor, you want to go with Gary Oldman. Best actress, Frances McDormand. Best supporting actor, Sam Rockwell. Best supporting actress, Allison Janney. And best director, Guillermo del Toro.
Allison Janney can get it.
Take Coco for best animated feature. Get Out for best original screenplay. And Call Me By Your Name for best adapted screenplay. And you will be well on your way to winning your pool. So we got two categories left. And I got two lunatics in this. One is, we've heard them all tonight. Best original song. We have Mighty River from Mudbound. We have Mystery of Love from Call Me By Your Name, which you will never hear on this program ever, ever, ever again. We have Remember Me from Coco. Stand Up for Something from Marshall. And This Is Me from The Greatest Showman, Chase Spillane.
See, for me, I think that what should win, my favorite of all the songs, is Stand Up for Something from Marshall. But I think what's going to win is Mighty River from Mudbound, because Mary J. Blige is not going to win Best Supporting Actress. She's not. But this will be a nice tip of the cap to her.
Interesting.
Giving her this Oscar. That's why I honestly think if she wasn't up for Best Supporting Actress and I wasn't completely sure she was going to lose, she wouldn't even be a contender. But a lot of times they do, you know, diplomatic things in the Academy Awards.
Molly.
I'm going with Academy Darlings and Tony Darlings, Pasek and Paul, the song from, what is it called? This Is Me, from The Greatest Showman.
I am going with Academy Darlings, too. And I am taking Remember Me from Coco.
Oh, that's right. They're both Academy.
Yes.
Because they won for
Academy
Frozen.
Academy Darlings.
They won
for
Frozen.
The husband and wife Lopez team took...
Molly, Let It Go.
Took Let It Go. Took the Academy Award for Let It Go. Pasek and Paul won last year for This Is Me. This category is really kind of a toss-up. And I think it's one that everybody in the Academy votes on. And most people, like, don't listen to the songs. It's been revealed over the years.
Well, which is why I think that the Mary J. Blige song is going to win. Because people will look and say, oh, I didn't vote for her for Best Supporting Actress. Oh, I should get
and she's
something.
A recognized name.
And
that
she's been up for
with.
A couple Academy Awards and never won. So that, like, that alone, like I said, I diplomacy wise.
It's interesting because Remember Me Remember Me and This Is Me are very likely to split votes. Both of those films, or both of those songs, play critical roles in their films.
Mm-hmm.
They're big numbers in those films. So either one of them is a worthy winner, but that may open the door for Mary J. Blige. Pick what you like. Just don't take Sufjan Stevens because he's not going to win this.
Terrible.
Best Picture, the final award of the night. The nominees are Call Me By Your Name, which is the inappropriate love story, but it's okay because they're gay. Darkest Hour, Gary Oldman in a fat suit. Dunkirk,
a little more than that.
Editing makes you wonder what the heck you're watching on the screen. Get Out, Black People Should Not Go to White People Dinner Parties. Lady Bird, Oh My God.
That is the moral of that story.
Oh My God, Growing Up Is Hard. Phantom Thread, Too Much Jar Jar Binks. The Post, A True Story Ruined by Steven Spielberg. The Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro fantasy about a mute woman falling in love with a sea monster. Yes, that is an actual Best Picture nominee. And Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, a story about an unsolved murder in a small town full of racist cops.
I'm going Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yep.
I am going with that as well. However,
it's the most critically and publicly acclaimed of all of the films. It's the least likely to win anything else that it's nominated for. It's gonna win.
Here's the thing: Three Billboards.
I'm sorry. Would you prefer four?
No, Three Billboards has the momentum behind it, but it is not that far away